Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and our study has been now for several weeks on the names of God, and we are studying from Kay Hother's book, Lord, I Want to Know You. And we have learned in all of our study the many names of God. And today, our study is in chapter 17 of the book, and the name that we're studying of God today is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. So let us begin our study today in prayer, Father. Heavenly Father, I ask that you teach us. We have learned so much about you through your names. And as we come to this last name of study, in your book, it's in your word, we ask you, Father, to open up our minds, our hearts, our very being, that we can understand and see what a great Almighty God you are. And we know, Father, that you have placed the Holy Spirit within our hearts. And we ask you, Father, to lead us today through that Holy Spirit, through your Holy Spirit, and give us the knowledge and the wisdom of your word that we may live it out, Father, to glorify your name. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Now, this is a very deep and a long study about Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. And just bear with me as we go through this study and pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us and will lead me as I proclaim His Word. Now, let's look at God's chosen people, the ones that He has called His people. They're the children of Israel. And we see so many times that where they were disobedient to the Lord. And they had not kept His statutes, and they had turned away from Him and followed other gods. And now they were facing His judgment and would be in captivity for 70 years. As you recall, Israel had become divided as no longer one nation, but they divided themselves. 10 tribes were called the Northern Kingdom of Israel, and the two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, was the Southern Kingdom called the Kingdom of Judah. And they had just fell away from the Lord and began to worship other gods. And so let's read some in Ezekiel 10, 18 and 19, and see what the Lord has spoken to them through the prophet Ezekiel. And they were in captivity, and God is speaking to them through Ezekiel. So let's look at Ezekiel 10, excuse me, and I need to find my place here. and look at the scripture. Ezekiel 10, 18 and 19. And I'll find my place here in just a moment. Okay, I'm going to read Ezekiel 18 and 19 and 11, 22 and 24. Starting in Ezekiel 18. And then the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. And the cherubim lifted their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. And this is Ezekiel talking as the Lord spoke to him. And when they went out, the wheels were beside them, and they stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of Israel was above them. This is the living creature I saw under the God of Israel by the river Shebah, and I knew they were cherubim, and each one had four faces, each one four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man was under the wings, and the likeness of their faces was the same as the faces which I had seen by the river Chebar. Their appearance and their persons, they each went straight forward. Now, going to chapter 11, verses 22 through 24 says, so the cherubim lifted up their wings with their wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was high above them. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood on the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. And then the Spirit took me up and brought me to a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to those in captivity, and the vision that I had seen went up from me. So the people of Israel went into captivity in Egypt, and then now we see them going into captivity in Babylon. And here they would learn another truth about him through another of his names, and that is in the last book in chapter 48 of Ezekiel, of the very last verse. We see here that Ezekiel is speaking for the Lord, and he says, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. So this is where we first see the mention of the Lord's name, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Now, the word Shema means there. And here in the scripture, the name is in reference to the city of Jerusalem. That is where that God is. He is there. And when the Lord named the city Jerusalem, he was assuring the people that he would be there. He would be there, Jehovah Shema, that he would be there. So this brought hope to the people that were in captivity. Going back to the nation of Israel, the first half of Israel, the northern, was brought into captivity by the Assyrians. And then we see later in the study that Judah, the southern part of Israel, was brought into captivity by the Babylonians. And so today, in the life that we live, we see that as those people, they lost sight of the Lord. They lost their hope in the Lord. And they forgot that in time that he is going to reign with Jesus on the earth in this same Jerusalem, the Lord is there, Jehovah Samah. So, as we are reading the word, we need to look at today as Christians. How can we today, God's people, hold on to God's word and our hope in a world that has fallen away from the Lord? Now, we want to read some scripture because these people, God's people, that had been held in captivity, they had lost all hope. They had fell away from God. They had began to worship idols, and they had not been true to the word of God. So, today we find that God's people are not true to his word. They are not faithful, and they have fallen away from following his statutes. So, how can we then hold on to his word? We want to look at some scripture and see that the word tells us, and we'll begin first by reading Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. And then that scripture is saying that to keep from falling away and getting losing hope of our redemption, we need to keep our mind on things above and not on things here on the earth. Now let's read Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So Paul is saying to the Philippians that the things that were gained to him, he counts them now as loss for the sake of Christ. And he says, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, because I have suffered the loss of all things, and now I count it rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. In other words, all of his hope is in Christ Jesus. Now let's read 1 Thessalonians verses 9 through 10. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son in heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Here Paul had received a report from the church in Thessalonica, and he is saying that he had the report that they had turned from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven that was raised from the dead. Now let's go on and read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 11 and verse 16 through 18. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all compassion, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here Paul is addressing the Corinthians, and he is encouraging them, and he is saying to them that we don't lose heart, we don't lose hope, because our inner man, our very soul, is being renewed day by day. And the life that we're living here on this earth is just momentary. And we're looking here on earth of things that we can see. And what our hope is the things which we can't see. He says, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, wherever we are, we know that Jehovah is there. So, we don't want to let the world keep us in captivity. That's what puts us in captivity, is the world and the things of the world. But we're to hold on our hope, of which is in Christ Jesus. And we see that in Psalm 73, verses 25 through 28. I'll read these verses. Psalm 73, 25 through 28. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And besides thee, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from thee will perish. Thou hast destroyed all those who are unfaithful to thee, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all thy works. Now here the psalmist is saying that everything that he has in hope is in heaven, and that besides the Lord God, there is nothing on earth that he desires. And he said, everything may fail, even my flesh and my heart, but God is his strength and his portion. And he knows that he won't perish, because God destroys the unfaithful. But as we stay near to him, he brings us good. And he is our refuge. And we want to tell all about his works, his wonderful works. So, we're looking at Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. When we look at the word Maranatha, that means the Lord is coming. We haven't studied anything yet about that word, but we're going to look at it closer as we study the name of God, Jehovah Shammah, because it means He is there. And the word Maranatha means the Lord is coming. So, are we as believers looking for Him today? Are we so caught up in the things of the world that we've lost sight of our redemption? The people of Israel and Judah, God's chosen people, they had lost sight. They had lost sight and they were worshiping other idols. And therefore, God had to bring His judgment. And this is when that they were taken into captivity. But what about God? Whenever He has to bring His judgment, what does it do to the heart of God? Let's look at some scripture here. Ezekiel 9, and then Ezekiel 6:9-7. And I'll try to read these scriptures quickly so that we can see what this does to God's heart when He has to bring judgment upon His people. And starting with chapter 6, verse 9, "How I have been hurt by thy adulterous hearts, which turn away from me, and by their eyes, which played the harlot after other idols. And they will loathe themselves in their own sight for the evils which they have committed, for all their abomination. And then they will know that I am the Lord. I have said in vain that I would inflict this disaster on them. Thus saith the Lord. Clap your hands, stomp your feet, and say, Alas, because of all the evil abominations of the house of Israel, which will fall by sword, famine, and plague. He who is far off will die by the plague, and he who is near will fall by the sword, and he who remains and is besieged will die by the famine. Thus shall I spend my wrath on them, and then you will know that I am the Lord. When they're slain or among the idols around their altars on every hill, on all the tops of the mountains, under every green tree, and under every leafy oak, the places where they offered soothing aroma to all their idols, so throughout all their habitation I shall stretch out my hand against them and make the land more desolate and waste than the wilderness toward Diblah. Thus they will know that I am the Lord. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God to the land of Israel, An end. The end is coming on the four corners of the land. Now the end is upon you, and I shall send my anger against you. I shall judge you according to your ways, and I will bring all your abominations upon you. For my eyes shall have no pity on you, nor shall I spare you, but I shall bring your ways upon you, and your abominations will be among you, and then you will know that I am the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, a disaster, unique disaster. Behold, it is coming. An end is coming. The end has come. It has awakened against you. Behold, it has come. Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time is come. The day is near. Tumult rather than joyful shouting on the mountains." Now that was reading the prophecy of Ezekiel, given to Ezekiel, the prophet by God, telling the people that they had been an adulterous nation in their hearts, and they had played the harlot, and they had followed after other gods, and they had committed all of the abominations. But he is saying there's going to come a time when they're going to know that he is the Lord God. Now, Ezekiel is written to the Jews who have been taken captivity into Babylon, and Jerusalem was invaded three times before it fell. And I'm not going to read this, it's too long, but in chapters 10 and 11 of Ezekiel, Ezekiel records that the glory of the Lord departed from the temple. And so, God acted just as he said he would. And let's look at Ezekiel 33:21. It says, "Now it came about in the 12th year of our exile, on the 5th of the 10th month, that the refugees from Jerusalem came to me, saying, 'The city has been taken.'" So, it had been taken after three times of siege. Now, the question is, would God return? And we know in studying the Word that in Ezekiel 11, 16 through 9, and I'm looking for that scripture here, and I want to see where he says that he would return. That's after 100, well, it's after 600 years. So I just want to read what the Word says in Ezekiel 48 through 35, and I'm trying to find the place where I have it written out. It says, the city, this is the scripture that we read where God was with them, says, "The city shall be 18,000 cubits around about, and the name of the city from that day shall be, 'The Lord is there.'" And that was Ezekiel 48:35. Jehovah would return. So that's what we are looking at here, how that God himself would return. And we want to look further, and we're going to see how all of this came about. After 600 years, we read in Ezekiel that I just read that the Lord is there. He has returned. Now, I want to read Zechariah chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. Let's see what he promises in these verses. He says, "Sing for joy and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord. And many nations will join themselves to the Lord in that day, and will become my people. And then I will dwell in your midst, and you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and the Lord will possess Judah as his portion in the Holy Land," excuse me, "and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. So, we know that he came back, and under Ezra, and under Zerubbabel, that they would rebuild the temple. And this temple that they were going to rebuild was the one when they came back out of exile. But later we know that Solomon built the biggest and the largest. It wasn't even to compare to the temple that they built. When they came back, Solomon's temple was the greatest that God had given them. And then we know that in A.D. 70, that the temple had burned and was burned by the Romans. And so after the temple was burned, and in 1948, we know and learn that as God had said that he was going to bring his people back to their land, they had been scattered throughout the land. And we know that it's not until the coming of Christ that we will see another temple, and that will be in the last days, in the days of the tribulation. We see the Antichrist allows Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. But we want to look at how that he was magnified. In Malachi was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and they would not hear another word from God for 400 years. And then during that time, the children of Israel had two things to cling to: his name, Jehovah Shammah, and his word, which he magnified above his name. And then these two things are seen in Ezekiel 39, 25 through 29. And I'll read this quickly. Therefore, says the Lord God, now I shall restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. And I shall be jealous for my holy name, and they shall forget their disgrace and all their treachery, which they penetrated against me to make them afraid, when I bring them back from the peoples to gather them from the lands of the enemies. Then I shall be sanctified through them in the sight of the many nations, and then they will know that I am the Lord their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations, and then gathered them again to their own land. And I will leave none of them there any longer, and I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord. Now, because the Lord was jealous for his holy name, then his word stands. His word stands above his name, and he was going to return. And let's see when that takes place. Let's read the scripture. John, in the New Testament, John 1, 1 through 14. John 1:1-14. First of all, we know that when he came, that his people didn't receive him. So looking now at John 1:14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt. Where? Among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father's of grace and truth. So here we see his return through his Son Jesus. The Greek word here, dwelt, means tabernacled. He tabernacled among his people. Luke 2 says that Simeon recognized him when he was brought as an infant to be presented to the Lord. That was in Luke 22:22. Now then, let's look at Luke 2:28-32. He took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou hast let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all the people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of their people, of thy people, Israel." So, we see here that Scripture tells us that he came again to the temple when he was 12. And the Jews were impressed, but they wouldn't recognize him as Jehovah Shammah, as beginning his ministry here. And we find that Scripture in Luke 3:23. "And they saw his miracles and he heard his words, but they didn't believe. Instead of believing he was Jehovah, I am, they picked up stones and they threw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." And that was John 8:59. Now, in Matthew 13:13-15, there on Mount Moriah, in the very place where Abraham had offered a ram instead of Isaac, stood the Lamb of God, God's provision for their sins. But they were stubborn and blind, and they stopped up their ears and closed their eyes. They refused to follow Jesus, Ra, the shepherd that would give them life. And we read about the shepherd being Jehovah Ra. So we see again that they would not even rally around Jehovah Nissi that we studied. The Lord is my banner. He is our standard. And we know that Jehovah Tsidkenu is going to be the end of righteousness to everyone, to the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So we're seeing here many of the names that we have studied. And when the Jews plotted to take the life and to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, they never dreamed that they were laying hands on Jehovah Shammah, the Lord of hosts. And he who could have called 12 legions of angels, and that's in the book of Matthew. So they crucified Jehovah Tsidkenu. and the blood and water poured forth. But they didn't know that the balm of Gilead, the blood of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth, nor could they believe by one offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified. So they missed peace with God through our Lord Jesus, Jehovah Shalom, and that's in Romans 5:1. So we know that in John 16:7 that Jesus went to be with the Father, but he didn't leave us comfortless. Even now he is Jehovah Shammah to those who believe on his name, who dwells. And this is what he said in John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. So we know that he, our Lord and Savior, when he went away, that he sent his Helper. And he lives in our hearts. His temple is in us. That's where we find him now living within us, because he sent his Holy Spirit to live in us. And God promised that he would return to Jerusalem, and that the name of Jerusalem would be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And when he returns, his word through Ezekiel to his people will be fulfilled. And so the Lord said, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather from them every side and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. One king will be king over them. They will no longer be two nations, they will no longer be divided into two kingdoms, and they will no longer defile themselves with the idols or with their detestable things or with their transgression. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places where they have sinned and cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. We see the word of God is truth, and that he is going to come. And we know in May 14th of 1948, he brought all his people back into the land, and the land of Israel became a nation again. And he's going to return again one day catch up or to rapture his people, and he is going to take us to be with him in glory. So before all of that is taken place, this is what he said in John 14 verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you shall be also. So this is where we all want to be, where he is, our Jehovah Shammah. So we'll end our lesson today and in this study in prayer. But I'm going to read the memory verse, which is Psalm 9 and 10. And Psalm 9:10 said, "And those who know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee." Heavenly Father, I pray that through this study, through all that we have learned, that you will be glorified, Father, and that we will indwell your names into our hearts and live it out to glorify you and tell others of the precious names of Jesus, that each and every one that we come in contact with, Father, will know your names, will know you as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.